This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
We'll talk about Happy Father's Day every day, part two. Happy Father's Day every day, part two. The psalmist starts off with saying that there are responsibilities to everyone and gifts to everyone who fear the Lord. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. And so he starts off, and if we look at verse 1, he's dealing with the walk of man. Verse 2 deals with the work of man. Verse 3 deals with the wife of man. Verse 4 deals with the wholeness of man. Verse 5 deals with the worth of man, and verse 6 deals with the worthiness of man. So when you go back, you see the first thing that the first two verses are dealing with is the godly husband's focus on faith. On faith. Why is that so important? Because he has to get his role and his life right with God first before he can have a meaningful relationship with anybody else. And faith is first and foremost in the lives of godly fathers. And so anyone who desires to be what God wants them to be must have a true reverence and respect of God. And that's what the word fear means, reverence and respect. But it says feareth, which means a continuation. A continuation, a constantly ever fearing of God in one's life. And when one has that reverence and respect, it will show up not only in their talk, but in their walk. And the walk is the demonstration of their talk. The walk is the fruition of their conviction of thought. And so how you walk says far more about you than you realize. And so a godly man is going to walk in the ways of the Lord. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so a good man is going to follow the diagram of God, the directions of God, and understand it begins and ends with God. But then verse 2 deals with work, because faith still comes in the work. The walk sets you up for the work. And what's important about the work is God has called every faithful father to be employed in a business, job, or work that glorifies him. Listen, God has already made clear, if a man don't work, y'all know that verse, don't you? He are neat. I mean, you know, part of what man's penalty from sin was that by the sweat of his brow, he would labor for his food. And so a good and godly man is one who works, works, works. Somebody like, stay right there, Pastor, stay right there. Works. He is the provider of the household. He is the one God holds responsibility for the success of the family. And so he should have a job that provides for his family, and he is the one who needs to do whatever it takes to make sure that they are operating the way that God expects them to operate. And so he must be in a gainful employment that makes sense and provides for his wife and his children. He must work, listen, a work that glorifies God and brings good to his family. Two things work should provide. They should provide profit, and they should provide peace. He should be happy, the word says, and it shall be well with him. That's peace. Listen, you ought to be able to have peace because of what you do and how God blesses you through the labor of your hand. And when you do that, you honor God and you honor your family, and more especially, you honor your role as a loving, providing father. Now, that's definitely necessary, but the peace that goes along with that comes with all things being in gravity in one's family, knowing and understanding your role, the wife knowing her role, the children knowing their role, and all of them should understand that by way of the Father, who reverences and respects the Heavenly Father, and who sets things in order in his house according to the word of God. That's so important to a godly household, to a godly family, so that they will understand if the husband, who is the priest of his household, and this is what I try to share with folk when they come and they want counseling, they want to talk about getting married, and they're unequally yoked, that they miss, it doesn't change God's expectation and role of both the husband and the wife. So that some of them say, listen, Pastor, do we have to say in the bread and vows, obey him? And I look at it and I say, well, let me say this to you in front of him. If he's not walking worthy, if he's not living worthy, if he's not talking and showing and sharing in a worthy way with you that you cannot obey him, then he's not the one. Because if you, look, why would you not want to obey somebody who's obeying God? Why would you not want to obey somebody who's doing right by you and right for you? Why would you not want to obey somebody who's walking in integrity and doing what thus said the Lord? So if, listen, you don't want to obey him and he's doing that, then you're the wrong one. See, folk don't like real counsel. That's real counsel. That means you're unequally yoked. Unequally yoked. So I can tell you right now, it don't make sense to go any further than this till you get that straight. So if you can't obey your man, well, you already got him. Now I'm going to let y'all come to counsel and deal with that then. But verse 3 deals, listen, with, and verse 4 deals with the godly man and his focus on family. Verse 1 and 2 dealt with his focus on faith. And now verse 3 and 4 deals with his focus on family. Verse 5 and 6 deals with his focus on the future. But verse 3 talks about his wife and how she'll be fruitful as a vine growing on the side of the house. And so this gives way to passion. It actually literally means her fruitfulness is because of the love that they two share, and because of their passion, they reproduce kind like them. And so it is a term of understanding that the husband should have a wife that he loves and she loves him, and it deals with, if you do any research, the inner chamber, the inner parts of love. So it has more to do with, again, the passion and love that's shared between a husband and wife. And in that verse, it then goes on and moves from passion to the children, who are like olive plants around the table. Now, moves from passion to potential, because he's got all these little steps, all these little children around. Do you realize in olden day, children, families used to be big. If you had eight people in your family, that was a small family. You know, folk had 12 and 14 and 20 and 21 children. Some of the women like, I don't think so. But they don't make women now, do they make men the way they used to? I guess. Amen. Because women could bring them, but the men can't take care of them, it seems. So it's best they don't have them if they can't take care of them. But listen, it literally means to have plenty children around the table. And if you are fruitful and multiply, then there would be many mouths to feed. But the potential of each one of those mouths now is set up by what they learn and they live in the home from now till they reach their potential. You see, parents don't really know, and many times fathers don't really know, the impact that they make on their children by what they say, by what they do, by how they live, by how they show love, by how they demonstrate their relationship with God. Many of them don't know the impact of what their children learn just by living and watching their parents. How much stuff begins to mirror you. How some of the boys do things because they watch you. Not because you've sat down and you've taught them and, you know, discussed this matter with them, but by simply watching. Watching you operate. Watching how you handle mother. Watching how you handle the siblings. Watch how you handle business. Watch how you handle the neighbors. Watch how you do things. They learn from watching. And so oftentimes when there's no father in the house, and mothers have got to be very careful that they recognize that a mother's role is very limited in raising a boy without some male influence. There are some boys that's got to have some male influence. Listen, be it an uncle, be it a grandfather, being a good role model in the community, whomever it may be, boys need some male models to be able to have an influential impact on. If all they see around the house is mama and sisters, then listen at this, they learn what they live. They don't get to see manly things and the way men act around the house and so forth because there's no male presence there. And so what happens is they become what they see. And so you have some boys who become very feminine because there's no masculinity in the house. So you've got brothers, you've got uncles, or you've got grandfathers or some other male figure who can spend some time and share and show the young boy how to be a real man and how to stand up to responsibility, how to do things. Because one of the things you don't realize, again, is much of the learning is absorbed through watching, through listening. Boys ain't got no business about talk to the hand, not to the baby. I'd break his hand. It'll come up like that, and if it don't go up to praise God, I'd break it off. Call child services for me. I break it off. They around there twisting more than the girls twisting. I need a man. to show that image so that they don't get confused. I'm confused. What you confused? Go in the bathroom. Look at what you equipped with. You're supposed to be a man. It suggests that three reasons why most families fail. The father isn't present, the father's in prison, or the father's become perverted. And the family fails because one of those three realities affect family life. You don't realize how much happens. Then you leave exposed your family to the wolves, to Satan, to the enemy, because the male, the father, is not in his place or does not have a protective hand, an involved hand in the life of his children. Daughters need to see a strong father. Why? Because they need to be able to see and know how a lady should be treated. There are some things they look at and learn by the example in the home with the father. How he talks to the mother. How he loves the mother. How he shares with the mother. How he respects the mother. How he does not call her out of her name. How he handles her as a precious gift. Daughters need to see fathers doing that. Daughters need to see fathers opening up the door for their mothers. Thank you, sister. Daughters need to see fathers showing love and care and compassion. Daughters need to see how it's done so they don't end up with somebody that means them no good. Fathers need to be there to check out their choices. Because I can promise you, every choice that's made without the presence of a father most time ends up in trouble. In trouble. Because of the absence of the father's presence. And so one of the things, again, young girls do is try and find what they miss in their father, in boys and men in the street who don't know Jesus. And so it's important to understand the influence around that table. And they say it around the table because in the Eastern and biblical days, families would share much teaching and learning and experiences at the dinner table. Not only at the dinner table, but at the breakfast table, at the lunch table. Every time they'd sit down to eat, there was something that was said, shared, or done by the family, and all of that happened in community with one another. Do we eat together anymore? You know, one eat at this time, another eat at this time. I'll eat a little bit later, fix me something when I get up. Others, I'm going to come on in, look, hey, mom, give me this. I'll get this on the way out the door. No, we need to be able, even if you can't do it but one day a week, you ought to start there and fellowship together. That makes all the difference. And so people miss God. God wants passion between the husband and the wife. But he wants potential in the offspring that they produce. In other words, there is a collective effort between you and the wife that should produce something wonderful in the offspring that has the best of each one of you inside. And it's your responsibility to develop them to their fullest potential, that they resemble if not both of you, at least one of you. If it's your children. And I don't mean biologically, I mean those who are in your covering, those who are underneath your roof, those whom God has joined together. That's your responsibility. And so when you move on, you begin to see that God has a plan for the father who is faithful and godly for his family. What does verse 4 say? Behold, focus in now. He's talking about the wholeness now of any man who wants to be blessed of the Lord has to do it God's way. The very first word says, behold, which is the primitive etymological root word that we get binocular from, which means to take that concept that's far and bring it up close and examine it. Behold, that man that does it God's way will be blessed. Now, here's what else we recognize, that God's not going to bless mess. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, God ain't blessing no mess. Are you in a mess? Y'all got quiet on that part, because you might be sitting next to your mess. That's all right. I just want to get it straight here. God does not bless mess. And so to understand that, he's saying to man, unless you do it according to my will and according to my way, if you don't fear me, which means to reverentially respect me, then I am not under obligation to bless your mess. Shacking up ain't his way. And I can't tell women enough, baby, he don't love you if he shacks up with you and ain't got no papers. Will you love me that much? Put some papers on me. If you're shacking with me, tell me, look, we can get together and we can put our money together and we can work on it and get together. You putting the cart before the horse. Get married first. Let God bless it and then work together. Because at any day when mad day comes, I can pick up my few little things and leave you high and dry. You can pick up your few little things and go high and dry. But if we got to cut this cord that isn't easily cut when it's me, you, and God or any other entities in it, it's going to take some time. And the reason why God makes it like that is so by the time it actually becomes unraveled, you might be to change your mind and say, it's cheaper to keep her. Unless she just ain't the right one or he ain't the right one. Then Anita Baker say, you can't do right because you're the wrong man. Don't sit here and act holier than thou on me. I'm talking to you. How many of you know the word of God is real? How many of you know God don't join everything that's joined together? God don't join no men together. God don't join no two women together. God joins one man and one woman at one time together. And so when you recognize God doesn't bless mess. And it's a compromise of your faith and your faithfulness when you shack up with somebody and know God is not blessing that. Are they worth your soul? Are they worth your joy? Are they worth your peace? How are you going to get on your knees and pray? And then get in the bed and sleep with the enemy? You got to be an enemy because it ain't the one that loved you enough to marry you. Listen, if she's that good, if he's that good, then marry them. Marry them. Yeah, at least put the ring on to get it started. Look, I got this here. It might start off as a promise ring, but if the Lord say the same, it'll be a marriage ring here. I mean, because sometimes you don't know, people show you one side one day and another side another day. I mean, you got to be wise and walk in wisdom. And God is showing again that you have got to follow His way in order for Him to bless it. Whatever it is. Every mess I've gotten myself into is because I chose to do it my way. Thinking I knew best. Thinking God didn't really need to hear about all of this. I got this. And got in some things that the Lord wouldn't help me, I might not even be here today. I ain't speaking about you. I'm speaking about myself. Because y'all don't like to tell the truth this morning, it seems. Every mess I've made of my life and every mistake in every area of my life is because John Montgomery thought he knew better than God. But the truth of the matter is, God's way is the best way. And whatever God has for you, it is for you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Lord been good to you. I think you all ought to mind letting somebody else know that. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. You know, a lot of people, this modern religion, we too, you know, cute to say amen. Yeah. But if you would just stop and think about how far the Lord has brought all of us, you can't help but to say amen when we hear the truth. God bless you. I have several scriptures today, and I believe I'd like to read most of these scriptures, if not all of them. They're very important, and I want you to look at the book of Luke, the second chapter. Let's begin reading the 41st verse. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.